Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31. We will read from verse 25. Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 25. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. God is declaring what he will do for his people. After Judah was in captivity for 70 years, God would deliver his people. He would bring them back from Babylon. He would cause to rejoice those who were grieving in their hearts and minds. God promises to provide for all their needs. He will satisfy them with food and gladness, and he will even fill them to overflowing. That is, bring before us the certainty of the promise when he says, "For I have satiated the weary soul." It's as if God has already done so, when yet it is future. The blessing was yet to be enjoyed, but he speaks in the past tense as if they have already been satiated and replenished and satisfied. But here we have God's promise to his weak and weary people, "For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul." And Jeremiah sees what God will do for his people. He beholds it in vision, and then he awakes from the vision, and he says that it was all sweet to him. Well, what we have here is three things to consider this evening. First, the sorrowful experience, and secondly, the satiation that is promised, and thirdly, the sweetness of the prospect. Here is a picture of the state of peace that the Lord promises to bring his people into. And friends, the Lord is able to give us peace as well. And let us pray for that peace that passeth all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, first of all, we have the sorrowful experience. The people of God are acknowledging that God has appeared to them from old time. But God is telling them, yes, that is true, but even now he will do great things for his people. He will build again his people, as we see in verse 4. He will cause his people to be established, and he will bring them back from their captivity. In verse 9 we read, "They shall come, and yes, they shall come with weeping and with supplications." And that is describing how God's people are often in a sorrowful condition. And the Lord knows that condition. They are praying to him, and he promises to lead them. And he will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way. Yes, the Lord knows their condition, and he is promising to help and uphold his people when they are in a sorrowful condition, in a sorrowful experience. They are sad because of their sins. The people of God are represented by Ephraim in verse 18, who is bemoaning himself. "Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God." So the people of God are grieving over their sins, over their stubbornness. They have been wayward and not obedient to God, and they're mourning over that. They're sad because of their failings, their shortcomings, and their sins. And God's people do reflect upon their sins, and they confess their sins, and they know that their sins are really more than can be counted. And if God would show us all our sins in their great enormity, it would be enough to overwhelm them. But God knows the condition of his people and their sorrowful experience. And he says, I have satiated the weary soul and have replenished every sorrowful soul. The word weary means exhaustion or even great thirst. And the word sorrowful means to faint, to languish, or to be dismayed. And some of God's people have seen their sins to be so great, they were astonished, and they were so perplexed about their spiritual condition that they were in a languishing condition and very sorrowful. But the Lord will not have his people to be taken up with overmuch sorrow. And so he is calling his people to return to him, and he will return to them. He promises to lead them, to even cheer them, causing them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Well, if you are grieving over your sins, recognize that God hears the prayers of those who are confessing their sins and trusting in the merits of Christ. He says, Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. God hears the groans and cries of his people who are weeping over their sins and have broken hearts because of their sins. And he is ready to comfort them. And he says, I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And in the second place, let us consider the satiation that is promised. The word satiate basically means to fill abundantly. The word satiate in the Hebrew is used in connection with water, meaning to drench or to saturate. And this is what God does for his people spiritually. He fills them abundantly. He even will saturate them with his mercy. He will more than satisfy them. He will satiate them. For I have satiated the weary soul. Yes, those who are in a state of exhaustion, those who are experiencing extreme spiritual thirst, God satiates them. He fills them abundantly. He helps those who are famishing. He is ready to fill the hungry with good things. He gives them the bread of life. And that is through Jesus Christ, who was crucified. His body was broken. His blood was shed so that sinners might be filled with his grace. Jesus was pierced in his hands and feet. The sword of divine justice went out against him, and so that he suffered God's full wrath and curse. He suffered in his body and soul, giving his life a ransom for many. And it is because he was crucified, because his body was broken and his blood was shed, that he is bread for the soul. God fills those who are longing for spiritual sustenance. He fills them with Christ. And from the riven side of Christ, the pierced side of Christ, we read that blood and water flowed from his side. And that's a picture of the blood is a picture of the cleansing away of the guilt of sin, and the water is a picture of the cleansing away the filth of sin by the Spirit. And this is what satiates the soul, the merit of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. And by his Spirit, he replenishes the soul. He satiates and replenishes the soul. As we read in Isaiah 44, verse 4, For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And the result of this outpouring of the Spirit is growth. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. If you feel that you are famishing, if you feel that you are languishing and exhausted, well, the Lord is ready to fill you, ready to satiate you by His Spirit and give you spiritual blessing for your soul. And He says He replenishes the weary, the sorrowful soul. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And the word replenish means to fill. And God fills the soul with comfort. Those who are grieving in their minds because of their sin, He fills the soul with comfort by His word when He says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. He fills the sorrowful soul. Those who are mourning over sin, Jesus says, blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Are you mourning over sin? Well, there is healing balm that God is ready to apply to your soul and apply to your conscience, give you peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah asks in another place, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why are they still in a sad, languishing condition when there is balm? And that's telling us that there is the blood of Jesus to cleanse away our sins, to provide comfort for our souls. Now, why should we remain languishing and dismayed because of our sins when Christ is offered to us and God is giving to us Christ in the gospel so that we might be comforted with forgiveness, that our sins may be pardoned by His blood and we would have peace in our consciences? For I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Go to Jesus. He will replenish you. He will forgive your sins. He will comfort you by His Spirit. He satiates the weary soul. He replenishes every sorrowful soul. The Lord is willing to fill us abundantly, as we read in Psalm 107 these familiar words. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Why? Why should we praise Him? For many reasons, and this among them, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. How we should go to Christ, who is the bread of life, that our souls may be filled, that we would feed upon Christ and have spiritual nourishment and spiritual fullness and satisfaction and be strengthened to go forward in our duties to serve the Lord in this world. He satiates us by His grace and by His love, and that is by the gift of the Spirit. As we read in Romans chapter 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And it's all through Jesus Christ. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you feel the ungodliness of your nature, the corruption within? Go to Jesus. For this is what He tells us in His word. When we were yet without strength, spiritually exhausted, having nothing to give to God as a reason for God to favor us. We have nothing at all. We're nothing but wretched, ungodly sinners. But Christ died for the ungodly. That's the hope. And that is how our souls can be filled with God's love through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we should depend on Him. God's people do not always feel this satiation, this abundant satisfaction. They don't always feel that. And they are to go to the Lord that they might get a glimpse of His love. They might get the sense of peace and satisfaction. And God keeps us dependent on Him so that we will go to Him again and again. He doesn't give it to us all at once. He wants to hear our voice in prayer so that we'll go to him continually for all our spiritual needs. He loves to hear the voice of his people. He says, O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice. He wants to hear our voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. So the full satisfaction is reserved for heaven. It's not here on earth, and we're to long for heaven because that's the place where fullness of joy is to be experienced. But also in the meantime, we know that whatever glimpse of his love we get here on earth, little taste of his goodness, the feeling of satisfaction, we know where it is traced to. It comes from the inexhaustible supply of his loving kindness, of his grace in heaven. It's God himself who is the source of all peace and satisfaction. So we know that the smallest portion we feel in our souls is traceable to the infinite source in God himself. There is no measure, no limit to his grace. And this is what the child of God views by faith. We see in a measure the infinite, inexhaustible fountain of life in God himself, revealing himself in Christ. And we know that what God gives us today, that little satisfaction, that satiation in a measure, we know that that is a pledge of what is yet to come. The fullness of his grace, to be filled with all the fullness of the love of God, as Paul speaks in Ephesians chapter 3. We know that the promise of his grace is certain in these words, for I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And this promise is truly sweet to God's people, as it was to Jeremiah. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Well, in the third place, finally, the sweetness of the prospect. Jeremiah had been receiving the word of God, whether it was a dream or a vision. He says he awoke. Upon this I awaked. When this part of the vision was over, he awaked from it. And he beheld, he reflected, he looked around, he thought about what he had just received from God, and he says, my sleep was sweet unto me. This vision was like a sleep in which he was experiencing communications from God, and it was sweet. And how precious is this prospect, God's people getting a view of what God will do for them. He satiates them in a measure now. He will abundantly satisfy them perfectly and forever in heaven. And these views that God's people get are sweet. The promises are sweet to their taste. And they know that all of these promises are yea and amen in Christ. And so what we are directed to is Christ, to go to him, to look to him still, that we might enjoy the communications of his love, and that the fruits would be sweet to us. As the church says in Song of Solomon chapter 2, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. If you have found the fruits of Christ precious to you, then you will know something of what Jeremiah was saying. My sleep was sweet unto me. The promises, the blessedness that is revealed in the word, forgiveness of sins, adoption into the family of God, heaven, everlasting life, all the fruits are sweet. Well, then you will bless the Lord for it forever. For what God has done for you, what God will do for you. God has done great things for his people. It's the blessedness that is revealed in his word and purchased by the blood of Christ. God treats his people as a watered garden, a garden in which he cultivates the soil and causes the fruits to increase. And we see that in verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil. Yes, these are pictures of the blessings that God gives to his people, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, saturated, filled, cultivated, replenished, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. How we should long for the fulfillment of the promises, promises which are sweet to the taste. God looks at his people as a garden, and he will take care of his garden and cause the fruits thereof to flourish. Well, are you weary? Are you sorrowful? Do you feel spiritually exhausted? Do you feel burdened with guilt? Whatever you feel, however burdened and toilsome you feel, know this, the Lord Jesus knows exactly your condition, and he promises to give rest to the weary. He's ready to cause the weary to rest, to fulfill this promise to you: for I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Then come to him for that rest. You say, may I come to him? Yes, you may come to him. He calls you, he invites you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He will not overload you and overburden you. Come to him, he will uphold you. He will bear your burdens for you. He will give you strength to go on. Cast your burden upon him. Go to him with your spiritual needs, that you also would be a garden that he waters, that you also will be forgiven your sins and be brought into the family of God and have blessedness in your soul. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And if you lay hold of that promise, you will experience what Jeremiah experienced. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, enable us to be thankful for thy truth. Help us to lay hold of the promises which are yea and amen in Christ. May we see in Christ the source of life and salvation, and the one who has purchased the forgiveness of sins by his own precious blood. Oh, that we would confide in him and trust in him for that salvation that our souls so greatly need. Oh, Lord, thou art able to comfort us with thy grace and presence, washing us in the blood of Jesus and giving us that spiritual solace and peace all through Christ. Bless us, O Lord, with these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Take away our sins. Give us grace to do thy will. And all we ask is for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 147. Psalm 147, from verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good. Praise to our God to sing, for it is pleasant, and to praise it is a comely thing. God doth build up Jerusalem, and he it is alone that the dispersed of Israel doth gather into one. Those that are broken in their heart and grieved in their minds he healeth, and their painful wounds he tenderly upbinds. He counts the number of the stars, he names them every one. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his wisdom search can none. Psalm 147, from verse 1, these four stanzas to the praise of God. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. food. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.